We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Back here in the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Our quarter number four, as it usually is. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. Greg Pickle will answer him. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. If you don't know by now, if you have the Keystone Sports app, which is available on pretty much anywhere you can get apps on your mobile devices, download the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button. You fire off a question there. It's really simple, really easy, and fast. We'll answer it on the air. The best question, as Greg is going to determine in just a moment, we'll get a bottle of wine from our friends at tailgatewine.com. So Greg, I'm going to get into the questions. Now we actually got a good group of questions, a good many of them. For a bye week, I was surprised at how many questions came in. We're going to start with John from Arlington, Virginia. Says, I'm curious about the punter situation after Blake Gillikin graduates. Do you think Penn State will recruit a new punter, or, and this is my favorite part, will future team MVP Jordan Stout take over the role, starting role next year?
I don't think so. I mean, we've seen James Franklin be incredibly hesitant to have somebody be the punter, the field goal kicker, and the punter, the field goal kicker, and the kickoff guy. That's so I don't think he's gonna want to expand Jordan Stout's role to any more than kickoff specialist and long field goal guy. I don't think he's want to put Jake Pinniger in that role. So they tried to bring in the kid from Norfolk State. That apparently didn't work out because I still don't see him listed on Penn State's roster, and he would be by now. So they're gonna have to go out. Maybe they find a guy in the transfer portal. Maybe the answer is already on the option. The Bradley King kid that came from Lackawanna is always interesting. So I think maybe you'll see him in that role. They brought in a couple walk-ons as well. So could Jordan Stout move into that role? Yeah, maybe, I guess. But they've been very hesitant to overload one of those guys, and so because of that, I think you'll see somebody else beside Jordan Stout in that role next season.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I appreciate you calling him future team MVP.
Current team MVP.
Everybody loves Jordan Stout right now. How about Remy from Sydney? Not sure about shipping a bottle of wine to Sydney, but we'll find out about that. Given Michigan's season thus far, are we at risk of having the Michigan game scheduled earlier, aka not a night game? Also, please discuss Chuck Losey's mustache.
Chuck Losey has a tremendous mustache. If you're at Beaver Stadium or get the chance to see him on the sideline, be sure to pay extra special attention to that. I don't know what this Michigan-Penn State game will kick at. These rumors about it being Fox's big game at noon have been going around for a while now. The one thing I'd say about that is Michigan just played in that game against Wisconsin, obviously got steamrolled. And I wouldn't be shocked that, if they were in maybe another one, whether it be the Iowa game, whether it be another game. So, I think that they're going to probably try to avoid that. The problem here, Dustin, is that we don't know whose pick it is first that week. So we don't know if they're going to end up with that game or not. Now, the baseball playoffs are ongoing at that point. So, Fox will not be able to have a night game that night because they have the playoffs at night. But they could do a 3:30 or 4 though, instead of a noon. So we'll see. I don't know when we'll find out about that, but my guess is it's probably not going to be until, at least 12 days before the game, if not six.
Yeah, so I think the concern obviously is that we know it's Penn State's whiteout game. We are not quite sure if the whiteout plays at 12 p.m. Now, granted, it's always pretty dark in State College. It's always overcast in State College.
I'm more concerned. And I think Penn State would really push back against this too, because guess what, Dustin? That's another noon game where they have to take it on the chin with parking complaints. So I think Penn State's going to push back pretty heavily.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if pushing back means anything. Dominic from Cranberry Township. Says, hey, Greg, given the abundance of running backs on the current roster, plus what's coming from the 2020 class, I suspect someone will be entering the transfer portal. I realize it's kind of early in the season, but as it stands now, it looks like Ricky Slade may be in the portal after the season. What do you think?
Yeah,
we hear this a lot.
Yeah, this is a question that comes up. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, because keep in mind, Penn State currently has two more four-star running backs coming in. If things play out the way we expect them to, with Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes, the four-star commits both from Florida. So, yeah, I mean, I could see somebody moving on, but so all these guys are actually seeing time too, so there's a benefit to being in a rotation like that where you're not taking all these hits over and over and over again. So, you know, we'll see how things work out. Obviously, it's going to be easier to have that conversation in November once the carry distribution becomes a little bit more clear. But right now, you know, with some of these guys probably like some more runs, sure, but they've all kind of had their moment in the spotlight too.
Again, you hate to get into rampant speculation. You kind of observe having four backs, and not only having four backs, but having four guys who are pretty close in eligibility. And it does suggest that something's got to give at some point in time. But we're still a long ways. Like, James Franklin won't even comment on and say that any change has been made with this group yet. So if the intention remains and each of these guys have bright moments, I think there's a very clear path to not having anybody, you know, defect after the season ends.
Yeah.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, where we're taking your questions on Penn State football and Penn State recruiting, brought to you by our friends at tailgatewine.com. And I also wanted to read this question next because he gets into something else that we would like to share with you. Adam from Bellefonte says, first off, I'd like to tell you all the listeners to go out to the Nittany Mall on Friday nights before games to check out the free food, rubs, wine, and Bloody Marys. My brother, wife, and I stopped out for the first game and enjoyed talking with Jim. I don't know why. You must have had a lot of free samples for a while on Penn State football. Jim's taking my paycheck away right now. And agreeing Andy's opinion on the running back being the most important position was incorrect. But back to the question. And what he's referring to is our friends at 409 Tailgate have a retail outlet now, the Tailgate Corner at the Emporium on the Nittany Mall. All kinds of 409 products and all the stuff that you got to have for tailgating. And they do have free barbecue and wine tastings on Friday nights, as Adam mentioned. But with the question, with the news surrounding California passing a bill to allow college athletes to be paid for name, image, and likeness, if this were to be passed by NCAA and allowed nationwide, I'm curious how they would handle wealthy and powerful schools like Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, etc., from not using this as an unfair advantage in recruiting. For example, at an official visit, a donor or bag man can basically say that they will pay the student for their image very well if they come to Ohio State. Kids would then attend schools based on how much money was going to be guaranteed to them. I'll admit, I have not done much research on this, but curious if I'm missing something here. If that's the case, then the dynamic hasn't changed anyway.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think that there's probably some things that are worth discussing here. Number one being that, as we've seen with the states or federal government trying to do legislation related to the NCAA before, it's still a private entity. And while you can say that, the NCAA is a private entity, must adhere to laws in the states that it operates in, they've been very successful at finding ways around, you know, not always following the laws to the letter of the whatever they're written to. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to change much. I mean, I do think we're getting close to a point here within the next 5 years that they're going to have to pay some kind of likeness and image, you know, deal. I just don't see any way around it. So will it impact recruiting? I mean, maybe. But to your point, a lot of this stuff's already going on anyway.
I'm trying to think of, and I'm not an expert on the law, but like if you're an employee of a company, they can use my, you know, like PennLive, for example, or Jim here can use our image and likeness if we're, you know, especially if we're full-time employees. But the NCAA will state again and again and again that student athletes are student athletes. They're not employees. Usage and profiting off their image and likeness is a little bit different story,
right?
To me, and something's just got to give. Like I can get on board with schools not being on the hook to pay salaries to student athletes. I can buy that. But something's got to be done whenever these guys are used on promotional materials or, you know, at one point video games and their jerseys are being sold. Even their names are not on them. Everybody knows the deal. schools and the NCAA are making billions off this.
Right.
I think that at some point in time, it's just fair to say a piece needs to be kicked back to the student athletes who are making all the money for them.
So how do they do that, though, then? Do they give each kid an equal share, or does a, you know, Saquon Barkley make, you know, all of the money and player X way down the depth chart makes zero? That's the one thing.
My first inclination is to say, like, you go out and you get what you're worth.
Right.
If you're not worth anything, I'm sorry.
Right.
But I do think that it's not just a matter of, like, you know, big quote unquote endorsement deals and stuff.
Right.
Like, you're going to have local businesses doing, you know, autograph sessions and, like, you know, it's going to open up pathways because these kids can't work.
Right.
I get it. There's value in the scholarship. But they're pouring so much time and energy into their sports, into their crafts, into their academics, into their tutor sessions, all that stuff. They aren't even allowed to work and make money to support themselves whenever their, you know, their meal plan runs dry, like it's happened to all of us. So I think that, you know, my first instinct is to say, let them go get what they're worth. But I can see some kind of regulation on that too. You know, to have Saquon Barkley pulling in, you know, $300,000 in a year because he's a Heisman contender versus, you know, your third string tight end who's on scholarship,
right?
Who, you know, nobody even knows who he is. So I can see that. But, you know, the system has to be set up at some point in the future to make room for that. And if it's the system is already corrupt, so you're not going to convince me that this is going to corrupt the system further.
Right.
You know, the schools with all the resources are the ones getting all the players anyway. So, you know, to say that a bag man can, I get it. And there's some, you know, there's some parts of the process that will need some kind of guidance or regulation, but it's not going to change the whole recruiting dynamic. Let's say one more. Let's say Ryan from Mortana. Are there any position coaches that are on the hot seat this year? Should there be a coach on the hot seat? I feel like I'm continually waiting for the O-line to take the next step, but instead get let down every year. There, he buried the lead.
I was going
to
say, yeah, wow. I mean, I think the question was asked and answered there. I mean, look, I think that every season you have to evaluate your coaching staff and see if they're doing the best job that you need them to do. I mean, we've seen James Franklin wait like he did with John Donovan to make a move. We've seen him be very quick to act like he did with David Corley, who I'm telling you, I don't think Penn State's plane was on the ground yet when David Corley was fired after the Citrus Bowl. I mean, that was a long time in the making, and it was just a clear, it was a clear decision. So, yeah, I think that it makes, you know, are there some guys on the hot seat? Yeah, probably. But let's have that conversation in November. It's a fair question, but, you know, I think it's too early to really wonder about all of that.
All that being said, we have a few good questions that came in this week. A lot of them. Who do you think asked the best question, Greg?
Well, I think you could go a couple different ways this week. It was a darn good selection process. But Adam from Bellefonte, he threw out all of the head nods to our sponsors and the folks that help us stay on the air, and also ask a pretty good question that took up a lot of the segment. So enjoy that wine. Another free sample coming your way.
We took all the oxygen out of the room. That was a deciding factor, but I think the formula is in place. If you stroke somebody's ego, you're probably going to ask the best question that week. Thanks, everybody, for submitting. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and download the Keystone Sports app.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.